Oh, good evening. It's great to see you all. And again, echo David's welcome if you're a visitor here for the first time. And it's great to have you. After the service, we are serving tea and coffee and mince pies out in the foyer and then way beyond into the Oak Room. So there's plenty of space to mill around, but please do stay behind, have a drink, have a mince pie, and enjoy some of Christmas with us. Well, are you ready for Christmas? You are? Great. Well, so am I. I got myself ready the other day. I sat in the armchair in our lounge and I got the remote out to get ready for Christmas and I set the recordings. I've set the Queen to record the Queen's speech on Christmas Day. I've set the very last ever episode of Downton Abbey. I was just thinking today, wouldn't it be great if Downton Abbey went on for eternity? It would then become a sci-fi. That would be right up my street. Can you imagine Downton Abbey as a sci-fi? I've set Doctor Who on Boxing Day. And I can't wait for the new Sherlock Holmes with that guy. What's his name? Cumberdict Benedatch. That's the one. Yeah, Cumberdict Benedatch. He's going to be there. And I love Sherlock Holmes. And I love those kind of stories. You know, if you're going to think about things from history or things about Christianity, you do need to be prepared to be a bit of a detective. Because you've got to get your ducks in a row. You've got to get your facts right. Because how do you know that what you believe is true? How do you know it's real if you haven't done that kind of thing? One of the gospel writers, one of the good news writers that we've read from tonight, a man called Luke, actually turned out to be an incredibly brilliant historian. As far as we know, he was a medical doctor as well. But he wasn't just happy to say, well, let's make a record. We read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 2 as he begins the good news story of Jesus and then actually continues it into the book of Acts as well. Listen to what he says. He said, just as they were handed down to us, these were the facts, by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. Luke played detective, not like Sherlock Holmes, but 2,000 years ago, he may as well have been. It's clear that he looked up the facts, and then as far as he was able, he went to people who could be eyewitnesses and said to them, look, tell me your story. Because I don't want to write anything here that's untrue. 150 years ago, around about, there was a very famous archaeologist. His name was Sir William Ramsay. He was English, but he went to a university in Germany. And in that university, it was known for being a place for skeptics, for people not to believe anything. And whilst he was an archaeologist and he trained as that, by the way, do you know, ladies, that the best guy in the world to marry is an archaeologist? Because the older you get, the more interested they'll be in you. But he was a very skeptical archaeologist, and he actually set out to disprove the Bible, especially the New Testament. He just had no idea or no belief that the New Testament could be true. You know, the more and more he studied it, the more and more he discovered that somebody like Luke, when he talked about the people, Caesar, Herod, somebody like Luke, when he talked about places or dates or culture, was just incredibly accurate to the point that finally William Ramsay prayed a prayer and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord because he realized that the facts were true. And he said again and again and again, you find that people like Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts, were just so accurate that the other things that they wrote too, you need to believe. Now, we all need to understand this, that history is really important. Guys, if your wife comes home and she comes up the drive and you're sat there watching Match of the Day or something, she says, darling, do you know that one of the flags in the drive, it's got proud, it's kind of sticking up and it's an accident waiting to happen. And you're going, yes, darling, as you press the remote. Now, she's just giving you a piece of history because that just went into your memory, but it also went into your past. Forget it at your peril. go out, put the dog out, trip over the step that she told you about, and you'll hear those wonderful words. I told you so. See, history has just got up and bitten you in the butt, or the knees that are now badly grazed and the hands that are now badly grazed. You see, you better not ignore history. And William Ramsay, he realized that Luke was well worth reading, well worth listening to. But then Luke does something really silly. I mean, there he is being a really good historian and giving you the facts like Caesar and Herod and places like Bethlehem and Nazareth and all those things. And those things are all provable. And then he breaks the rules because he starts talking about angels. Oh, we just sung about them tonight. Angels from the realms of glory. So he's talking about beings. Where did they come from? I mean, are they invisible till suddenly they appear? Or have they moved from another place and suddenly come into our time and space? And how does a good historian, who's into facts and figures and stuff like that, suddenly dare to talk about angels? Now, we like the idea of angels. Did you know one of the most popular songs at crematoriums nowadays? Robbie Williams' Angels. For goodness sake. Fat little cherubs with wings. And that's what we become when we die. That's what some of us think. Hang on a minute. That's not what Luke's talking about. When the Bible talks about angels, it talks about messengers from the very presence of God, who is so incredibly powerful and pure that when we speak of him, we have to say he's holy, holy, holy. And those angels step out of his presence, don't ask me how, into our presence or into the shepherd's presence, and suddenly the shepherds are there and their knees are knocking. They're quaking at the sight. But Luke is there. He's maybe talked to the shepherds. Maybe he said to them, look, what was it like? And they said, I don't know, I have my eyes shut. What was it like? I don't know. I was hiding behind a wall. Yeah, he'd behind a wall. He's a rubbish witness. Let's discount him. And then one of the shepherds says, it was amazing. It was just incredible. We were frightened. Boy, were we frightened. But then the sky was filled with the most wonderful sight of these messengers. That's what angel means. Messengers from God. Giving him praise for the tale, for the story that they just told us that we had to go and find out. And so we went out and we found out, and it was exact as the angel had said. See Luke's notes going back to the historian. It was just as the angels had said. What's happening here? God's breaking through. God breaks through. The reason we celebrate Christmas is because God breaks through. God breaks through into history again and again and again. He does it through angels to shepherds. He does it through his son into a manger and then to a cross. But the angel's announcement to the shepherds, once they got over their quaking and they managed to listen for a little bit, is there's good news. There's good news of great joy. This isn't some announcement from God that you're all doomed, that you've all had it, that God's out to just blast you with his thunderbolts. This is good news. It's good news for you. It's going to bring great joy because when you discover its truth, it'll do something in your life that will change you. And we all want to bring praise, and that's what the angels then did. They praised God because they couldn't help it. They realized that God was doing something so incredible, so special, that all they could do was worship God and announce this amazing, amazing statement, peace on earth to men. Now, this wasn't like some statement that, you know, Miss World-to-be says, you know, what would you like on earth? Well, I'd like there to be peace on earth. It wasn't about that. This is about God saying there is a way to become right with me. There's a way that all the disturbance, all the brokenness of your heart can be settled because you can come into a relationship with me. Just like Steve sang with that song, Thorns in the Straw. That as Jesus died on the cross, a dying thief said, will you remember me? And Jesus said,
today. Today, paradise. Today, peace between you and God. That kind of peace. Why shepherds? Great angels. We love the story, but why shepherds? I think it's because they're just like you and me. They're very normal, but they're not kind of wise men. Well, I'm not anyway, so I identify with the shepherds a lot. I don't know about you. Maybe you think you're one of the wise guys. But why shepherds? Well, let's have a look at them. Who's there? Well, there's a guy by the campfire, and he's worrying about his family, not his sheep. He's wishing that his family were as easy as his sheep. Now, you've got to know, one of my existences in the past was working in livestock haulage, and sheep are not easy. Sheep are, you know, they are very, very difficult. But his family, he's worried more about them, wishing they were as easy as sheep, because family life is falling apart for him. And he's sat by the fire, and that's all he can think about. And maybe that shepherd's just like you or me. And there's another guy there. He's just standing looking into the distance because he's got worries. The worries of the world are on his shoulder. And lambing didn't go well. All the sheep that he cared for, that not too many lambs, which means not too much profit. And the price they're charging at the temple nowadays for a lamb by the shekel is just not going to make ends meet. And all he can think about is the fact that he owes. And that's a crushing debt on him. And maybe he's a shepherd, but he's like me. He's maybe like you. There's another guy next to the other guy by the fire, and he's just feeling shameful and guilt-ridden. And he's just had a massive argument with his brother, and there's a family feud running, and the only reason he's out by the fire looking after his sheep is because he's actually run away from home. He's run away from facing up to his brother, run away from the mess, run away from the pain, run away from the guilt, and just staying by the fire, huddling to keep warm, but that's all he can think about. Maybe he's just like me. Or you. There's another guy there. He's just managed to put his sheep into the pen for the night. And as he closes the gate, he grimaces because of the pain in his stomach. And he's worried about dying because the lump he feels in his stomach's growing. And he knows there's no cure. It hurts all the time now. It makes him sick. And he has to keep going, despite the constant pain and despite the nagging, biting fear of death. And maybe that shepherd's like you. Or maybe he's like me. There's another one. He's kind of huddled by the fire, but his back's to everybody else. He's worried because he thinks he's dirty and unacceptable. Well, he is. He smells of sheep poo. And he smells of lanolin. That's the greasy, stinky stuff that gets on your hands and your clothes when you handle sheep. Because their wool is matted with it. You try it sometime, you'll know what it's like. Doesn't wash off easily. And on the outside, he knows he's just a dirty, smelly shepherd. But inside he knows he's just the same. He knows that he's a filthy mind. He knows that he's got filthy thoughts. He never stops thinking about all those wrong things. And maybe that shepherd, the one with his back to the fire, maybe that shepherd's like some of us. Maybe like you or maybe like me. And then there's a shepherd who's just worried about when he's going to make it home because his boss, he's a sheep keeper, but his boss who owns all the sheep, he's just had him out there week in, week out, looking after sheep. He's never been home for weeks. And he's just fed up of that, and he's just missing home. He's missing family. And he just feels the pressure of all that, and it's got him down, and he's depressed, and he's weary from it all. Work just driving him into the ground. And he can't wait for a break, except there doesn't seem to be one on the horizon. He wished he was a teacher, then he'd get Christmas holidays and half terms and Easter holidays, then other half terms, and then 6 weeks in the summer. Maybe he's just like you or me. Then there's the other guy. He's out there in the middle of his flock, counting his sheep, but above all, he's just worried that he's a failure. He longed for so much more. He thought life would be different to this. He never expected that all he'd ever do was count sheep. And maybe that shepherd, maybe he's just like me. I mean, maybe he's just like you. But you know, there's great news for filthy, dirty shepherds. There's great news for broken shepherds. There's great news for worried shepherds. There's great news for you and for me, because this news that the angel gives is for everyone. It's for everyone. There's another guy around that time who became a Christian later on. Initially, he hated Christians. He just was filled with anger and vengeance towards them. And all he did was live to put them in prison, live to have them done away with, live to kill them. And then he met the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and his life was completely transformed. It was changed overnight. This guy became a guy who could do nothing but speak about the love of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to these words that the Apostle Paul wrote. God made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, we might think, yeah, okay, there's some of those shepherds I can really identify with tonight. Whatever you said, you just put your finger on the button for me, because I'm in that place. I'm broken. I'm pressurized. I'm weak. I'm weary. I'm dirty. I'm unclean. But the Bible says, good news, peace, and God's goodwill is towards you, because everything, every broken thing in your life, every wrong thing, everything that's spoiled, everything that you've got to regret about, every shame that you have, every guilt that you feel, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born as a baby and laid in a manger, died on a cross, and took all that garbage. He took all that weight, all that shame. He took it. He took it for you. The Son of God died in your place. So somehow you could know God's peace. You could know, as Paul writes here, righteousness, rightness, being right with God, the God who made this universe, and the God who loves you to bits. Hey, I don't think there's any shepherds here tonight, but there's a lot of sheep. I don't mean to insult you by that. I'm just one of them. But the good shepherd, the one who called himself the good shepherd, Jesus, told a story where he said there was a shepherd who had 99, he had 100 sheep and one was missing. He counted 99 into the fold, and he cared so much about the one sheep that he came out looking. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and he brought it home. This Christmas time, that's what he still wants to do with me, still wants to do with you. He wants to pick you up tenderly, gently. He wants to bring you home to his Father. I don't know what Christmas means for you. I listen to the radio. If I listen to Radio 2, I get very confused, because I think if you listen to Radio 2, it's all about jingle bells. It's all about, well, it's being nice to each other. It's all about, well, the meaning of Christmas is being home for family. And for some people, that could be the worst Christmas ever. And the meaning of Christmas is what we're longing, what we'd love to share with you tonight. Jesus. Just simply Jesus. The good shepherd who came from heaven, looking to bring you home. And all he's asking is, will you say, yeah, bring me home? I'm fed up with the brokenness. I'm fed up with the pain. I'm fed up with the shame. Fed up with the heartache, the pressure. Fed up with all that stuff. Jesus, like the shepherds, come, come, break in, bring me home. Let's pray together. Just in a moment of quietness, maybe you know that's you tonight. Maybe you know that God's speaking to you through his son Jesus, through this amazing Christmas story. And maybe for the first time ever, you dare to pray a prayer. A prayer that's just a very beginning of making steps towards Jesus. Knowing that the minute you do that, he'll pick you up. And he'll take you, and he'll clean you, and he'll forgive you. And he'll make you his own daughter, his own son. The prayer's on the screen. You might just want to look up for a moment or two and just quietly read it. Lord Jesus, I know you love me, and that your death on the cross meant you took the punishment for sin I deserve. Please forgive me and clean me from my guilt and my shame. I confess you as the resurrected Lord of my life, and I'll follow you forever. Receive me as your child. Fill me with the life-changing presence of your Spirit. And if that's a prayer you can pray tonight, just as a brand new step in your life, just quietly pray that in your own heart. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, the next step, I said it was the beginning, the next step would be tell somebody. And it'd be great if you told me or told Pastor Ian or any of the band that are singing tonight and leading us. We just love stories of people making those steps towards Jesus. We'd love to pray with you. We've got prayer team available. They have usually wear purple lanyards. Just grab somebody. I would say grab them by the lanyard and say, I prayed that prayer, I want to know more. We'd love to give you a Bible, just to help you begin to read it. We'd love to give you a little booklet, and it's called Every Day with Jesus for New Christians. So the next step would be tell somebody. Don't just keep it here, tell somebody. But if you're interested and you think, yeah, okay, I've got some questions still, and you're not ready to pray a prayer like that, then Pastor Ian will be out in the foyer near the welcome desk, and he'll have a little book called Why Christmas. Just ask some questions and hopefully gives you some signpost answers. And there's a prayer at the back of that that you can pray as well. But thank you for listening. Thank you for the time.